listening to the Cosmopolitan Hour.
Hey, I'm somebody from the room, see the room 100 times, and you're listening Cosmopolitan Hour, whatever you're listening to, listen well, okay? I'm Tommy Wiseau. Have a groovy time. Bye.
Okay, this is episode 63.
Yes.
Let's get this party started.
Let's get it started. So, I felt like there were all these things that I wanted to talk about, which is what I say at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah.
But now I can't remember a single one of them.
Oh, we can start with Tracy. She emailed us again.
Oh, yes. That's right. I think I saw that on my...
We have an email that's not from Twitter.
On my fancy phone.
Yes.
I also have a...
I have to confess... when I misplaced my phone last night, there was a part of me that half hoped that it was forever gone. And
really?
And I have an excuse to buy a better phone.
Oh, I see.
I'm so materialistic. I'm so ashamed. Well,
you know, you...
Please absolve me of my sin.
I don't know that I need to absolve you, but... oh, look. We have a few new emails.
Oh, great.
One of them is from yesterday. So why don't we just start out with the emails and then we can go on about everything else. Also, I would like to point out, and I think this is really great, Earth Balance is following us on Twitter.
Yes!
I know! That's like big news in the vegan world, I think. Earth Balance.
We've made it.
We have made it.
We are Z-lister vegans.
Hey, we're Earth Balance? We're like A-lister vegans. Earth Balance.
Maybe B-lister.
We're A-list. I'm declaring it.
Are you saying you wouldn't do a VH1 reality show?
No, I would do one. I'm just saying that in the vegan community, A-list means something else.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, so how about...
I guess I just have an inferiority complex. I can't aspire to A-list veganism.
Perhaps.
I don't know what to do with that.
Well, we have to do as much good with it as we possibly can.
I don't know if I can use my powers.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I don't know if I can use my powers for good and not evil.
Oh,
I'm not that strong.
I have confidence in you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we've got another email.
Your iron and vitamin B12 during this cold and flu season.
Yes. And your vitamin D.
From non-animal sources.
Yes.
Continue.
So Tracy sent us another email, and I think we should read it. Let's see. It's an awkward format for us to read jointly because it's one very short sentence and then a long paragraph and then a short paragraph.
You go for it. It seems that we have a wealth of correspondence today. So
okay.
Please indulge yourself.
Well then. Tracy says...
Oh, it suddenly got a lot louder.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, I never realized how spastic and ADD my emails sound until you guys read them. I have exciting news that I felt I needed to share with you. I was given a free two-night stay at the Hilton on or at Fisherman's Wharf, so I'll actually be there.
Awesome.
We're thinking the middle of June, and I realized I don't know a damn thing about Fisherman's Wharf or where to visit or any of the stuff that you'd want to know before arriving at a destination. I read about a Yoda fountain, but that's more for my boyfriend than for me. One of my first thoughts were, hey, Erica and Jordan are in that area. I should ask them. I thought briefly of the glamour of being a guest on the Cosmopolitan Hour, but then I realized I'd be a horribly boring addition since I'm neither a vegan nor am I an expert in anything unless you want to learn to crochet or hear me talk endlessly about hand-raising kittens. I got nothing. So
I could listen to some talk about kittens.
Yeah, and I'm going to have some talk about hand-raising kittens.
That's
hopefully
true.
Next week.
You guys are going to have something in common.
I know.
I better get a hand-raised kitten myself.
Yeah,
or
you
else
better get on this.
I'm going to feel left out.
Hand-raised kittens are the new chihuahua.
God, I'm so 2010.
Yes. So, if I could only have one meal in Fisherman's Wharf, where should I go? As I said before, I'm not a vegan, but I do like trying the different foods, and we don't have a lot of vegan restaurants in Arizona, so I figure this could be a nice treat. I love your podcast and can't wait to hear the double episodes tomorrow, which dates this letter back a couple weeks. Tracy.
Well, I'm glad we still managed to make the deadline
yes.
before her
before
trip.
June yeah. sometime.
We did it a whole month in advance. Go us.
I know.
Well, where is Tracy from? Is she from...
She's like, from Arizona.
Arizona, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking Toronto for some reason.
Arizona. So,
I mean, to think of what in Arizona would be comparable to Fisherman's Wharf, and I'm not...
I don't know any tourist
really
attractions.
Sure.
My advice would be get out of Fisherman's Wharf.
Yes.
Don't spend a great deal of time in Fisherman's
Wharf.
Wait,
we should preface this with a small disclosure, like... by asking us about Fisherman's Wharf, you have opened a potentially harsh reality, which may, just brace yourself for the truth.
Right.
If you can handle it.
We don't want to be Scrooges, and we don't want to,
we say
ruin
this out
your
of love.
Excitement. We say this because we want you to have a really good time.
Yes.
So.
A really authentic time.
Yes. So Fisherman's Wharf is a big tourist attraction. Which isn't in and of itself necessarily bad.
Let me answer her second question really first.
Okay.
Or really quickly. Let me answer her second question very quickly first. Mm-hmm. Where would we recommend to eat at Fisherman's Wharf? The answer quickly is nowhere. So
yes.
Continue.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think the larger answer is we would kind of recommend not really doing much of anything at Fisherman's Wharf.
Exactly.
I mean, there is the Mechanical Museum, which is cool.
I have not been there.
Yes, you could do that.
It looks interesting.
In like, an hour or so. So get up early, go to the Mechanical Museum, and then hop on the F train, the little streetcar, and book it out of Fisherman's Wharf and head towards the Mission or towards Golden Gate Park. One of those two things.
Yeah. Or what's the one that goes on Fillmore, the 41?
The 71.
The 71.
Or no, the Fillmore is the 22. 71 goes down Haight. So 22 is on Fillmore. Yes.
So yes, you could take the 22 up Fillmore, and you could see Pacific Heights or Japantown.
That's true.
Or Lower Haight.
Yes.
Or the Castro.
Yes. Definitely go and spend a little bit of time in the Castro, because the Castro is a lovely neighborhood, and you definitely won't see stuff like that in Arizona.
The better parts of San Francisco, and I don't mean in terms of fancy houses or wealth, I mean in terms of like authentic, fun things to do that local people enjoy, it's going to be... the more authentic it's going to be, is the further from the coast it's going to be. So get the hell out of Fisherman's Wharf and go somewhere real.
Right. Well, I mean, Fisherman's Wharf, you'll see a lot of the same kind of touristy stuff that you can see anywhere else that has a tourist population.
Yes.
So there's like
I imagine there's a Bubba Gump shrimp house.
Yeah, there's like a Madame Tussauds wax thing. There's like a Ripley's, believe it or not. Like all that stuff that really is just, you can see it anywhere. So really you don't need to go to Fisherman's Wharf to see it. You can, take 10 minutes and go look at the sea lions if they are there. Around Pier 49 at Fisherman's Wharf is where a whole bunch of sea lions like to hang out. So you could just kind of go look at them. But
yeah, that's recommended.
Yeah, that is recommended. So like take like an hour and 20 minutes to explore Fisherman's Wharf and go to the Mechanical Museum and go look at the sea lions.
And you can also go there if you are interested in seeing Alcatraz, because that's where the ferry leaves for
true.
Alcatraz. So
that's
that is another excusable reason to find yourself in the Fisherman's Wharf area.
And Alcatraz is pretty cool, but I mean, it's kind of expensive. And if you only have 2 days in San Francisco, I wouldn't say that Alcatraz is like essential. It's like if you had like 4 or 5 days, then I would recommend it more highly, but I think that there's other stuff that doesn't take as long.
Especially if the weather is nice, that's so rare that you don't want to ruin that with a trip to Alcatraz, because the weather is never nice at Alcatraz.
Yeah, so it's kind of the point of Alcatraz.
Yeah, exactly.
But as far as where to eat...
The Golden Gate Bridge. If you check out the Golden Gate Bridge, it will be cold and windy. And you may think you're coming to sunny California, but that is a lie, my friend. It is a horrible, deceptive lie.
And especially if you were from Arizona, you'll probably actually find it pretty cold, especially if you come in June, which is winter in San Francisco.
It's third winter.
Right.
We have at least 7 distinct types of winter. And then about 2 weeks called summer that are interspersed throughout winters 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
It's complex to understand.
One day we'll make a chart. We'll do a graphic.
Indeed.
Yeah, good idea. But as far as where to eat, you know what I would... I think I would say go to Gracias Madre. I'm not going to recommend non-vegan food. You may have decided no longer be vegan, and that is your choice. But you're sure not going to get any non-vegan food recommendations out of me. So go eat some vegan food, because you can, and it will be delicious. So go to Gracias Madre.
I thought Tracy wasn't vegan yet.
I thought she was and then wasn't. I'm sorry.
Let us know.
Tracy, maybe I'm totally backwards
on this. Clarification.
Anyways, I don't mean it as a slight at whatever your eating habits are. I just mean that for me personally, I do not recommend non-vegan food ever to anybody. So, because that is my take on things. But anyways, it doesn't really matter, because whether you eat meat or whether you are vegetarian or whether you are vegan, you will fucking love Gracias Madre.
True.
So make a reservation.
I have eaten there within the past 5 days.
Yes. I'm jealous. make a reservation, because it gets really crowded, and go there and eat as much as you possibly can.
No, you can't make a reservation if it's for less than 6 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
They have like communal tables because they're all hippies.
But it's all crowded. So it's crowded. So be aware of that. You might have to wait a little
while. Go at a weird time.
Yeah. Yeah, if you feel like eating dinner at like 4 o'clock on a Saturday, that's a good time to go.
Yeah. And you know, when is a better time to eat dinner at 3:30 or 4 on a Saturday than when you're on vacation?
Yes. So the other thing that I recommend you do in San Francisco, and I know that Erica recommends this as well, is afternoon drinking.
Yes. I'll reluctantly cede that to you.
San Francisco and I mean the whole Bay Area really, but San Francisco really particularly, I think, is a town that really likes to drink. So there are lots of good cocktail bars where you can get very fancy cocktails, like
Indeed.
Smuggler's Cove. There are lots of beer places where you can get like a gazillion kinds of beer, like Beer Revolution in Oakland or the Toronado on Lower Haight Street.
Or City Beer.
Or City Beer on Folsom Street. And like a billion other places. And there are lots of just kind of good divey bars to go and just have a beer and have a civilized afternoon of conversation.
Yes.
And taking in the city. Or just resting your weary feet and looking at your map and deciding where to go next. Of those, I would recommend Bender's, which also has great bar food. The Zeitgeist, and also the 500 Club. That is what I would recommend.
All of those are in the Mission.
Yes. You could, even if you want an authentic Cosmopolitan Hour experience, you can come and drink where we record a lot of our shows these days, at Vesuvio's, which is where we are right now in North Beach.
Yes.
So look all of these things up, Tracy.
A recent article in the San Francisco Chronicle alerted us to the fact that they open at 6 a.m.
Yes. And you know what? I think one of these days, like in the summertime, we should, like, maybe the next time there's like a court holiday and I can like arrange to not come into work and you don't have to work.
Nice.
Maybe we can come in and record at like 6 in the morning and have a beer at 6 in the morning. Because that is not something I would like to make a habit of doing, but I think that would be a fun thing to do. Well, yeah. Says me. You can, if you want.
Why does it have to be a holiday? That's what I want to know.
Well, just if you want to do it before work, I guess we have time. Oh, man. So I think that's my wrap-up of San Francisco. Golden Gate Park. Do the Golden Gate Bridge if you want, but just be prepared for it to be cold.
Yes.
Hang out in the Lower Haight. Check out the Lower Sunset if you like. Or the Inner Sunset. There's some like good stuff there. If you like just kind of walking around and stuff. The Mission, Gracias Madre, bars, drink in the afternoon, eat, don't spend too much time in Fisherman's Wharf. I don't know. North Beach is worth like a walkthrough.
Yeah.
You know, North Beach, Chinatown.
Yeah.
It's where we work. It's where we hang out.
Yeah, Chinatown's really interesting. Yeah. I think it's, you know, one of the more interesting Chinatowns in North America. I know it's not the biggest, but it might be one of the oldest.
I think it is one of the oldest. If not the oldest, it might be the oldest.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting place. It's very touristy as well, but you know, there are cool places, including Lucky Creation, which has what I believe are the city's only vegan char siu bao.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Barbecue pork buns, and they are fucking amazing. Yeah. And it is, char siu bao is like my favorite dim sum ever.
Yeah.
So yes, that's on Washington, Lucky Creation. And Chinatown's right up next to North Beach, which is like Little Italy. So that's a nice, fun neighborhood to walk through.
Yeah, there's some nice parks. There's the City Lights bookstore, which we're looking at right now, which is actually kind of a famous, like, beatnik bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. It's just a fantastic bookstore with like tons and tons of really progressive literature and books, and if you are in the market for any kind of interesting reading, then that's a good place to go.
And Hoyt Tower is within walking distance. It's a really pretty neighborhood, but it's also just, you know, like a nice view. If you want to pay to take the elevator up, I think it's like $8 or something.
Right.
So it's a lot. I wouldn't pay it, but you know.
You can go up and get some good views without paying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They've got a big statue of Christopher Columbus up there, if you're into that sort of thing, you know.
And then if you want the real San Francisco, just take a walk from like Market Street and Union Square down to, you know, the Castro or something. That'll give you a pretty good cross-section of what San Francisco is all about.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So we hope you enjoy your visit and get in touch with us.
Also in North Beach. What street? Is it? It's right by Washington Park. Liguria Bakery.
Oh, yes.
You have to get there early. They usually sell out by 11 a.m.
Yes.
They have the most amazing focaccia, and their vegan and garlic flavor. Their pizza and garlic flavors are vegan. Isn't there a third one that's vegan?
I think there's actually a bunch. I know that there's garlic. I think there's like olive. I think there's a rosemary one. I think most of them are vegan. They just have one or two that have cheese in them as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And they're fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Fucking enormous. Like a piece the size of, like, I don't know, a legal sheet of paper.
Pretty much.
Is like, what, $6?
Less. I think it's maybe $4, maybe even less.
Oh my God, and it's amazing. And the ladies are like super Italian and kind of sassy.
Yeah.
And they'll give you attitude unless they really like you.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a good place.
It's worth their scorn for the focaccia.
And from where you're staying on Fisherman's Wharf, you can probably walk there pretty easily.
Yeah, it's a short walk.
Yeah, so walk over there. So we hope that that's been helpful.
Yeah. We'd also recommend a burrito, a real San Francisco burrito.
Yes.
We'll get to that Wikipedia article in a minute.
Right, okay, good, yes, because that is something that
I'd recommend. You know, Pancho Villa is kind of mainstream and touristy, but I like it. I recommend it. And, you know, their beans are all lard-free, and their rice is all vegetarian and vegan. So it's pretty easy to get something that suits you. And I think it's delicious, and it's reasonably priced, and they have the most amazing salsa bar in the world.
See, I would disagree with you on the salsa bar.
Whoa.
I think El Toro is better. Even though El Toro,
it's the same company,
they're the
though.
Same, except for El Toro's nicer inside.
Yeah.
And El Toro has pico de gallo in their salsa bar, and Pancho Villa doesn't. And every time I go to Pancho Villa, I'm like, no, because I want the pico de gallo.
No, I will. I'll definitely see El Toro to you, because
I mean, they're the same otherwise.
It is totally the same company, the same exact menu. And let's just keep this little secret between us, but it's also like a lot less crowded and a lot less touristy and a lot less like drunken frat boy after midnight. And they're both open really late, like till, I think maybe till like midnight or 1 a.m. on the weekends.
Something like that. Yeah.
So yeah, El Toro is on 17th and Valencia, which is like two blocks from Pancho Villa.
Right.
So don't go to Pancho Villa, go to El Toro.
Yeah.
But it's a secret.
Yes. And when you get there, get the veggie burrito with rice, beans, avocado, tomato, no lettuce.
Whoa, hey!
And
Tracy made her own burrito. let Tracy make her
I'm
own
I'm just
burrito.
Giving her the real San Francisco okay. experience. Okay. Which is, are you a lettuce?
The eyes of a Canadian.
Yes, are you pro lettuce?
I like lettuce in a burrito.
Because that's
now
like
and
a
then.
Contentious issue. That's a contentious
Whoa.
Burrito
Whoa.
Issue. Lettuce versus no lettuce?
I suppose.
I don't like the lettuce.
The lettuce is good if you're going to eat it right away and you have confidence that you could eat the whole burrito in one sitting.
That was a dig.
No, it wasn't. I'm just...
I've been known to not eat a whole burrito in one sitting.
So have I. That was not a dig, trust me. No.
I took it as a good-natured one.
No, I've done a lot of thinking about burritos, okay. So trust me.
Okay. All right, well, we will have to come back to the burrito issue because we do need to have a full-fledged burrito discussion.
Like, yeah, I'm just saying, like, lettuce is good if you can eat it all in one sitting. But if you need to, like, reheat it or eat it cold, it's better without lettuce. So.
I just like it without lettuce anyway.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Right. But with that, would you like to read our other email?
Yes. Wait, we were going to talk about...
We'll go back to burritos later.
Okay. Yeah. We can always go back to burritos. Burritos are eternal.
So, there you go. This is from somebody new.
Hello from a fan. And it's got the cute little android face, so I imagine that this is the little guy talking to us.
Oh.
That makes me like this person a lot more already.
I think that displays next to every person that isn't like on my friends list. Like, that I don't know. Like, when it's you, it's like a little green dot if you're online, or like a
okay.
little...
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so I'm a little cute green guy when
no,
you see
No,
me?
You're just a dot.
Oh.
I don't
ew.
Know. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, this is new to me, so it looks like a friendly little robot saying
hi
to us.
I'm sure that Autumn is a friendly little robot.
I like to think so.
Because that's who has written to us.
Good. So. Yes, Autumn has written to us. I just went Australian for a minute. Autumn has written to us.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Hi, Erica and Jordan. I recently found your podcast, and I really enjoy it. I've been listening to the Cosmopolitan Hour marathons at work, and it's seriously gotten me through a few really shitty weeks. So thanks.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. That's... If that's a service that I have managed to provide the world, then I felt that I have left my mark on this planet.
Yep.
Wipe away the tears. I've been meaning to write in for a while. The recent episode about street harassment really hit home and gave me a good excuse to send you guys an email. Yes! Last month, I was walking my dog after dark in my neighborhood when some guys in a car cruised by and shouted a bunch of gross stuff. I'd usually just ignore it and keep walking, but that night I was full of piss and vinegar, so I shouted back, "Fuck you!" Ew, gross. One guy hung out of the window and said, "Fuck you, bitch, I'll come over there and rape you."
Whoa!
Yeah. Ugh, sick. Oh, it makes me so mad. Because I'm really smart, I shouted back, "Just try it, I'll fucking kill you." That's awesome.
I like Autumn.
Yes, I like her already. Apparently my rage, I thought I could face off against four dudes. Been there. Oh shit, the car stopped in the middle of the road and I realized that I was in a potentially bad situation. So I ducked into a nearby apartment parking lot and sprinted down side streets till I got back to my place. Then I called the cops. Too bad I didn't catch the license plate number, but I have noticed more cop cars patrolling the streets lately, so I guess that's something. That's nice.
Yeah.
She must not live in Oakland. I was furious and terrified at the same time. After 15 years of this crap, this was my shining moment to stand up for myself, and it felt so good. But I also felt like all that power was yanked away when that turd tried to put me in my place by bringing up rape. It was humiliating running back to my apartment, but I'm still glad I said something, even if it wasn't the most mature response. Oop. Whoa. There. thank you. Anyway, that's my story. I'm sure it'll keep happening, and I'm working on better ways of responding other than ignoring it or releasing a shit storm of rage. Also, been there.
Yes.
I really like what you said, Erica, and I think I'll try that out next time. Thanks for putting out an awesome vegan feminist podcast.
Yay!
Hooray! You're an awesome vegan feminist podcast. I'm looking forward to the next episode and maybe even meeting up with you guys in real life. Us South Bay PPKers are trying to organize a field trip to Sully Vegan at the end of May, so I hope we can have a Bay Area PPK Love Fest.
Okay.
Or something.
Awesome.
That's super awesome. So she is in the South Bay. And
yeah.
I'm
really bummed that this happened, and also bummed that this happened in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I am a Bay Area chauvinist, and I like to think that the Bay Area is above such things, but clearly it is not.
No.
Anyway, here's your phone back.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, thank you for writing in, Autumn, the happy robot, and thank you for sharing your story, and I, you know, if I make it sappy here, let's have a touching moment.
Okay.
Like, I know our podcast doesn't really reach a lot of people. I think maybe we have, like, 200 listeners at most.
Right.
But, you know, I enjoy doing it, and I'm really happy that people listen. And even if it's just to 200 people, like, sharing a story like that is really... I think it's... I don't want to sound condescending, but I think it's brave, and I think that it's good that we're talking about these things and not just shutting up about it. And letting each other know that we all have these common experiences and that we shouldn't feel ashamed by gross dudes, because they're the ones that should feel ashamed.
Yes, I agree. And
thank you.
And, you know, I think it's really easy, no matter what you say, to look back on it afterwards and say, oh, I should have said something different or better. But honestly, I think that speaking up at all, and especially speaking up, like, loudly and... you know, being really sure of yourself enough to say, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
That, you know, that may not be the textbook response that you wish that you had given when you think about it later.
Yeah.
But I think that that's pretty awesome. And while I certainly wouldn't want any of our listeners to be doing things that were putting them in danger or making them feel unsafe or anything like that, I, you know, I'm... this story worked out okay. And so I'm glad that that Autumn was able to get that off of her chest, and, you know.
Yeah, I think it's easy, I agree, it's easy, hindsight is 20/20, and it's easy to look back and think, like, oh, I could have handled that situation better. But I think the important thing is that you've registered your disagreement with what was going on, because I think that's what allows this to continue, is that... I mean, ignoring it is always an okay strategy if you don't feel confident to speak up or speak out against it, or if you don't feel safe enough to speak out against it. It's okay to ignore it. But if you have, you know, if it's an okay situation and you have the courage to speak out against it, I think that's commendable no matter what, because you're registering that this is not okay. And you know, you can't control how they react, and it sounds like they reacted really poorly in this situation.
Yeah.
We're really glad that you stayed safe and got yourself the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, obviously I wouldn't want that to happen with anybody else, but I think, you know, no matter how you handled it, I think, you know, details are details. I think it was great that you told these guys, this is not okay with me, and you need to STFU.
Right. And you told them that you didn't take that as a compliment.
Yes.
And you weren't like, oh, thanks.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, we all know, I think a lot, well, maybe not all, but I am very, very guilty, and I think, Erica, you are too, of being like, okay, yeah, I will take all of you guys on.
Yeah.
I will totally kill you. And I've gotten actually very physical with dudes way bigger than me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of two
really,
minds about
really
it.
Really sorry, but look at this dog.
Oh, that's cute. That's a
oh
cute
my
dog.
God.
That's a very cute dog.
Okay, anyway.
But, I mean, I've gotten kind of physical with guys much bigger than me. And
yeah.
I think that there's kind of two sides to that sword, because, you know, on the one hand, like, I think that for the most part, faced with the, well, I mean, in my experience, most guys, even much bigger guys, even like drunk, angry, much bigger guys,
mm-hmm.
when faced with the formidable obstacle of me weighing all of, you know, not very much, and like, with like little stick arms and everything, like, but if I'm like vocal, and if I'm like, if I stand and present myself like I'm ready to like kick their ass, most of them like back off and fast, like not even like, you know, just kind of more posturing, like they won't do anything, like once I like kind of like brace myself for like, okay, I'm gonna then like pretty much everybody has backed down.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. I'm like the chihuahua that just kicked the German Shepherd's ass. But I know that that's a very imperfect strategy, and it's one that I usually employ when I'm drunk, and that's not the smartest thing for me to do. And when I get really mad because I still, after all these years, have a bit of a anger management problem sometimes. But
I think it's understandable in that situation.
Well, yeah, of course. But I mean, at the same time, like, there's always the possibility that one of these guys isn't going to back down. And they are much bigger than me. And they're just going to clock me one, and that's going to really suck. But I don't know. I mean, I don't ever want to get beaten up. But I guess if I got beaten up defending my own honor instead of waiting for somebody else to come do it for me, that would be not okay. But, I mean, it would be more okay than... something else.
It would be an honorable thrashing.
Yeah, and I mean, not like I'm trying to say, you know, oh, women, you should go out there and be martyrs and act like idiots or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's just good. I think sometimes, and I don't think we really talked about this. We talked about it before. I think that sometimes, like, feminist movements or like things that are written about this kind of stuff, and like, you know, like if you read a piece in Bitch Magazine or Bust Magazine about street harassment or anything, I think that they really tend to view it, a lot of what we hear about this is really black and white, like, you know, either you should ignore it or, like, never put yourself in any danger or whatever else. And, like, you know, I don't want to advise people to go and do things that are reckless or dangerous, and people should do what they think is right for them, and people should do what they think is what they're comfortable with doing. But at the same time, like, sometimes I see that and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of willing to take a few lumps for the cause in that respect. Like, I shouldn't have to, of course. Like, you know, people shouldn't be saying shit to me in the first place that causes me to get pissed off and do something potentially kind of dumb. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, you know, like, unfortunately, no great social change ever comes without a few knocks.
Yeah.
So, I guess if, you know, I don't know. I think I'm treading a very dangerous line, but I think that what I'm trying to say is that, you know,
you're a feminist ninja.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't have any fighting experience beyond the fight that I won when I was 9 years old with a boy.
Excellent.
But
I think that's a good precedent.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I punched him like once in the nose and made his nose bleed, and then he left. So that was pretty much that. But I don't know. Physical confrontation isn't always the scariest thing in the entire world.
Right.
And sometimes showing that you're willing to go there is actually a really strong message, and like the only time that you need to say it to that particular person. And like, I have to say, you know, there have been a couple times when I have threatened to beat the shit out of a 6'4" dude, and I don't think that they would try that kind of shit again.
Yeah.
At least they probably wouldn't for a while. I think it was really embarrassing for them to be called out by somebody who is like, you know, so pissed off and like so. And, you know, I was so into it, like, drunkenly at the time, and I was like, yeah, I will try and beat you up, and whatever, and I don't know. Anyways.
Hey, it doesn't matter how big you are if you got a bottle to break.
That's true. I didn't.
Oh, damn.
I was in the time that it is most memorable to me.
Was there a pallet handy nearby?
No,
like, off a 2x4?
There was pretty much nothing. The time that I'm thinking of is when I was in the... going to the bathroom at one of my favorite bars in Edmonton.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that we went there. I think we only went to the Empress. It was kind of like, the Empress was like the spin-off bar for this bar. So, but the bathrooms were in the basement, so you had to go down a flight of stairs and then just kind of walk down a hallway.
Uh-huh.
And this particular person that I'm thinking of, I was going to the bathroom and he was coming out. The men's bathroom was like closer to the stairs than the women's, so he was coming out of the men's bathroom and I was walking towards the women's, and he made some comment and kind of like touched my arm, and I was just like, fuck you.
Nice.
And he pushed me against the wall.
Gross.
Like in this fairly narrow hallway, like, you know, shut up. And so I like got myself up off the wall, and I was just like, And I told, like, I didn't even really say anything. I just kind of, like, postured myself, like, okay, I'm gonna, like, I squared myself, and I was like, and I looked at him with a lot of intensity, and he, like, was just kind of like, he backed down, and he laughed. It was like dogs. It was crazy. But it was, like, probably the most communication with, like, just, like, body language and whatever that I've ever managed to achieve. I'm not a very...
Always keep your eyes open for weapons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there, I mean, there's nothing there.
Weapons.
So, I mean, I guess there is a keg, but I'm not strong enough to lift a keg.
You could be strong enough to bash his face into the keg, though. Hey.
Maybe, but I'm not sure about that either. Maybe now. Probably
yeah,
not then.
Yeah.
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 Which I'm going to start my second round.
So, okay.
Yeah, I think next Monday is going to be the day.
I have a good P90X story to tell, even though I haven't done it for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. And I too need to get back on that regimen.
Yes.
But I was very foolish today.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner woke me up at, I think, 7 o'clock. He's like, all right, I'm leaving for work. You got to get up now. You told me to wake you up at 7. I'm like, okay, I'm up. So I went into the kitchen and got the kitchen timed it for 10 minutes so I could greedily snatch a few extra minutes of sleep and curled up in bed with Molly. I mean, can you blame me? My dog's there all curled up. The bed's warm. Come on. So I've been known to do this thing where I will turn off alarm clocks in my sleep and have no recollection. And that is what I did today.
Oh.
And I woke up at 9:30, half an hour after I was supposed to be at work in my bed. And I was like, oh, so it took me about 3 minutes to get out of the house. And thanks to P90X, I had this blouse hanging in my closet that I haven't worn for several months.
Uh-huh.
And I think the last time I wore it, it was like uncomfortably tight on me. And I was like, fuck, this is the only like professional clean thing I had. And I just threw it on and it like fits really well on me now.
Hooray.
And the only problem I had with wearing it was that it's missing a button. And I managed to get a safety pin. So everything is all good. Thanks, P90X.
Perfect.
Thanks for helping slacker, sleep-in, insomniacs like me get to work an hour and a half late instead of an hour and 45 minutes late.
That's admirable. So I found out something about one of the San Francisco Giants who apparently does P90X.
Oh, right.
Oh, God. Sorry, I think I got a cute animal text message.
Oh, dear.
Yep. It's Pazuzu on a box.
Pazuzu.
Anyways, do you know who Brian Wilson is?
Yes.
Okay. The thought of this, like, bearded, mohawked, like, shoe polish, beard-dyed freak doing P90X is kind of too much for me to bear. He's like, I can't find any good pictures of him, but...
Yes, I'm familiar with his general appearance.
Yes, he's... I don't know. Something about that just warms my heart.
He's a bear.
Yeah.
He's a straight bear.
Yeah, he's... But, like, he's in a really good shape. Like, he's...
Right.
He doesn't have the beard gut or whatever.
But he's big and thick.
Yeah,
like an athletic guy.
Yeah. But he's, like, fucking strong. Like, if you see him pitch, you're just kind of like... You're like, well, yes, of course he is a great pitcher. Because he can throw that thing so that it, like, achieves velocity of, like, a speeding comet through space. He's, like, a cosmic god who, like, propels objects into motion. I mean, obviously he's not, but he's pretty good at pitching. anyways, that was my P90X tangent, and then I have a clothing tangent of my own.
Yes.
So, as I told you earlier at the office, I was informed today that, that tomorrow night my husband and I are to attend a very fancy, much fancier than we had been led to believe, dinner for my grandmother-in-law's 90th birthday in Palm Springs. So we've kind of been planning to leisurely drive down there and have like a couple days to kind of hang out, and then we thought that the dinner was going to be later, and And we did not realize that it was going to be at such a fancy place who has, like, their own, who invented a, like, veal recipe or something like that. Yeah. So we had to go out this morning and buy clothes for this thing because my husband is an even bigger dirtbag than me. And the dress code for men is you need to wear long sleeves and a jacket.
Wow.
So he has a jacket, but the only pants that he owns are jeans. And and he did not have a long sleeve shirt. So we went to H&M because I needed to get some kind of dress or something like that. And he needed to get some pants and a shirt. And there is nothing that makes me feel worse about myself than shopping for, like, fancy clothes.
Uh-huh.
I've got pretty healthy self-esteem. I love my body. I think it's awesome. And, I'm generally pretty comfortable in my own skin and in my clothes. And, like, I like to good-naturedly rib myself about, like, you know, oh, you only wear black or jeans and t-shirts and whatever, you dress like one of the Ramones. But, I mean, really,
I'm... You went to a yellow dress.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Oh, we will. We will see, Joanna. We will.
Oh, God. That's going to be an interesting fitting. But so I went and I tried on all this stuff and I realized I just have no idea how to dress myself like a nice lady for like a fancy dinner. I have no idea. And I was trying to picture in my mind, you know, all the fashion magazines that I've ever read, which are not that many.
Right.
And I was trying to think of things that I'd seen that, you know, looked good from them. And trying to think of, you know, people that I knew that were really stylish and what they might wear. And I just was like, I drew a complete blank. It was like being presented with a math problem and being like, I have no idea. I have no idea. And it's so frustrating because, like, everybody else around me was totally fine, mm-hmm. you know. But me, I was kind of having a silent, nervous breakdown in the middle of H&M. And,
so what ended up happening? Did you find something?
I ended up buying a black cardigan, and which is almost identical to a black cardigan that I currently own, except this one has full length sleeves, and the one I have has 3/4 length sleeves.
It's good to have varieties in both sleeve lengths. I'm totally serious.
Yes.
This is my fashion sense talking.
Yes. Well, so I got that, and then I ended up buying a polka dot skirt, which actually was really unflattering. But was sort of vaguely in my size, and I did not have the patience or the fortitude to keep looking through stuff. But then, so I gave the bag to my husband to take home, and I went to work. And on the way to work, I walked by a Gap store, so I was like, oh my God, and I had kind of like a panic and ran into the Gap to see if I could buy something from them. And so then I found like a skirt, like kind of a, I don't know what it is, a skirt with black and white stuff on it. And it's kind of vaguely nice, I think. If I wear it with heels, I think it will be like the required level of
excellent
of nice. Excellent. But I'm not sure when I'm going to buy heels between now and tomorrow. Yeah.
You stop at DB Shoes on Powell.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, there's one on Kearney.
But what time are they open until?
I don't know.
Yeah. This is my dilemma.
You could GTS on that fancy phone.
That's true. I guess I can. I don't know. It just was really, it made me really sad, like, and it made me really stressed out. Mm-hmm. Like, really stressed out. Like, completely irrationally stressed out, and I was just kind of like, what? You know, I guess style is something that I've struggled with for a long time, uh-huh. because I have a very irrational feeling where I feel uncomfortable if I feel like people can't tell what I'm like by what I'm wearing. You know? Do you know that feeling? Like, I feel like...
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of feel like a fraud. Like, every time I'd have to get up in a suit to go to court when I was in law school and stuff, I'd always feel like a fraud because I'd be like, people can't look at me and tell that I'm, you know,
I think that's what's exciting about having clothes, though.
See, I hate that.
You get to pretend to be different people. See, I'm already, like... such an intensely, like, secretive person, says the podcaster totally unironically. And I don't know, like, I have this weird, like, I don't know if it's, like, a tic or a habit where I just, like, I'll just tell little white lies to people I don't know very well.
Yeah.
You know, just because I'm like, why do you need to know that about me? Right. You know? And I'll just make up stupid shit. Like, you know, if a guy in a club asks me my name, I'm like, Tammy. For no reason. But, you know, I mean, I guess that's a...
Who the hell is named Tammy anymore?
I know. I know. That was the weakness in my plan.
Yes, well... See, I mean, and something that I always admire about your style, though, is that it's versatile. Like, you are able to make yourself look presentable for, like, any variety of occasions.
Why, thank you.
And I have not figured that out yet. I guess I felt like by the time I reached this age that I would have figured it out, but I just really... haven't. I still dress the exact same that I did when I was like 15 years old, minus the thrifted prom dresses, which I used to sometimes swap out for jeans.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though. Well, I mean, you have a style, and that's
yours. The most part, there isn't, except that when I have to go to a fancy thing, and when I start having to go to court, I'm going to start having panic attacks every day.
I'll, you know what? When you start having to go to court and, like, doing shit like that, and I mean, seriously, even if you don't have anything pressing to attend, like, you know, once you have a little fun to build up some, like, nice formal wear or something like that, I'll walk you through it. We can go shopping together, and I can, you know, tailor anything that you buy to fit you.
Well, I know that when I was at H&M, I was really wishing that you were there. Because I was just, like, looking at stuff, and everything that I looked at looked like something that I already owned. And everything else just made me uncomfortable. And then on top of that, their spring line seems to be really focused on, like, salmon and, like...
I was in there a few weeks ago. It is hideous.
Yeah, there's a lot of really ugly shit in there. And then,
like, there's a lot of ugly shit.
And then I found one dress that was, like, a really nice color. It was, like, a really, like, kind of sky, like, deep sky blue with, like, kind of, like, white... battered pattern on it.
The Chronicle says that cobalt blue is the new black.
That's what it is. It was cobalt blue. So, but it was really nice, and I tried it on, and it made me look like pregnant, like really pregnant. And I'm like, that's a big feat on me, because I do not have a lot to make.
That, like, takes a lot of doing to make you pregnant.
Like, I, and it didn't, you know, like, lots of things, I try them on, and I'm like, this is shapeless, or, like, it hides everything, because I don't, you know, like, things that are designed to kind of, like, hide problem areas, but accentuate curves, that, like, hides everything, like, I'm just, like, invisible from the neck down, when I try that stuff on, but this was, like, I don't know what the fuck was going on, like, it made, it just, like, it came down, and then it kind of, like, it had kind of like pleats. It had sort of like a seam that kind of came like around like the kind of just over your boobs. And then it had kind of pleats that kind of came under the seam.
Oh, so it looked like a maternity dress, basically.
Yeah, but so it, like, it looked like, so like made my boobs look way bigger, except that it like mostly hid them, but it made like it suggested them being much bigger. And then, like, it just, like, hung off of me.
Yeah.
But the way that it hung at the top made it look like there must be, like, some, like, gestating fetus in there somewhere underneath. And I was shocked because it's,
yeah, that's a really unflattering look for anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that they make dresses like that.
But it's too bad because it was, you know, it was, like, the only fabric, like, the only kind of pattern in the whole place that I was like, oh, that's actually really pretty.
Yeah.
And where I would wear it, and, like, it was kind of an acceptable length. And it was, like, a dress, so I was like, oh, well, if that works, then that would be perfect. But it was just, like, a disaster. A complete disaster. And boo. Yeah. But then, you know, like, I see all these other people taking all these, like, disparate, ugly pieces from throughout the racks and then, like, putting them together and then coming out of the dressing room with, like, an outfit that actually looks really good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out. We'll navigate the seas of clothing.
Mike ended up buying an orange plaid shirt.
Wow. That's bold.
Yeah. and black slim-fitting trousers.
Oh my.
Yes, which actually look really good on him. I'm jealous because, you know, like, he's such a dirtbag.
Yeah.
So whenever he puts, like, the slightest bit of effort into dressing up, he just looks good.
Nice.
And it's like, oh, how surprising. Like, you look really good. Whereas with me, it's like I put the slightest bit of effort into looking good and I look worse.
I disagree with that. I object.
Well, thank you, but I don't know. I guess it's a double standard. I mean, it's not like an intentional one, but
yeah.
I guess we're more used to seeing women all dressed up. So, like, for me, what's, like, really dressed up is, like, really casual to a lot of other women.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it doesn't really have the same wow factor because, you know. Is that guy trying to hitchhike?
Guy in the red pullover?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Does he know those people? I hope he knows those people.
They're like, please, sir, let me go. Oh, God.
A middle-aged man in a red polo shirt is standing, like, in the road at a busy intersection near our bar and was, like, thumbing.
Oh, there goes a cable car on wheels.
Yes, those are the new party buses.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, hipster with a mustache. That guy was like a textbook hipster.
Like, that guy like wishes he was a hipster.
He's like an illustration in the dictionary next to hipster.
That's like a guy who like saw some hipsters on the internet and was like, I think I'd like to try that. So he did.
Oh dear.
Yes. It's kind of like how rock and roll is all the rage now, though I think it's going out of style, so I'm happy about that. But, you know, you see all these girls who are just kind of like, you know, they've got like the rock and roll look. And they're like, you've never even been to a show in your entire life.
Yeah, totally.
Ever. And I know, I can tell by looking at you.
I think this couple are taking their engagement photos in front of this mural here.
Gross. Are you sure they're a couple? Because he looks like her dad.
Oh my, he's kissing her on the cheek. Let's watch and find out where this goes.
He really does look like her dad.
I can't see him. He's blocked by the potted plant.
I wonder if they know what that mural is about.
Yeah.
Like it's like a revolutionary, like...
Yeah. Some Zapatistas in there.
Yeah.
God, that guy's totally her dad.
Yeah, see? I'm so judgmental, but it is so easy to be judgmental of people. On my side, I'm looking at some tourists, like, who are just the most touristy tourists. Like, the woman is wearing head-to-toe
straight
camel.
Straight out of Wisconsin!
She's wearing head-to-toe camel color, and, like, it matches her hair. So she's entirely the same color from literally head to toe.
She's camouflaging.
Well, and then her husband or her partner is wearing, he has a gigantic beer gut.
That's my love child. It's not a beer gut. Have you ever seen the movie Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I have, and I have to say that guy's packing at least two juniors in there.
He's packing junior and the third.
Right. But he's wearing, like, light jeans and then a similarly colored, sort of vaguely Hawaiian-themed, like, leisure shirt.
Yes. Leisure shirt is a good way to describe it.
Yes. So, like, they're just this monochromatic...
And they've just been standing there still for the entire time we've been describing them.
Well, they're trying to get a cab, and... They're not having very much luck, and I'm a little mystified as to why they don't just walk, like, six blocks and go to Market Street.
That is un-American.
I suppose it is.
And they are obviously American tourists.
They do look extremely American.
Still waiting for that cab.
Yeah, a bunch of them have passed by. They keep trying to hail the occupied ones, so... I feel kind of bad for them.
I'm riveted.
I know.
It's like a soap opera.
I know. So you can see why I'm distracted because, you know, they've got a plight.
Check out this guy's amazing beard. Do you think he draws it on every day?
Oh, shit.
Or maybe it's tattooed on.
Shit, dude.
That windbreaker is so tight. He looks like a fluorescent sausage.
Weird. This is the judgment section. Totally. I mean, unfortunately, I think he's compensating for the fact that he's losing all of his hair in the front, so he has to, like, make an elaborate show of what he can grow on his face.
Right. Right.
He has pencil-thin lines.
Oh, yay.
Oh, they finally got a cab.
Enjoy your time in San Francisco, guys.
Yes. We should consider walking around a little bit, because it's nice.
Yes. This is the flaming bitch section of the show.
Yes. I'm not being that big of a bitch, but I mean, you know, it's good to walk.
No, I mean, in a good way.
Right, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
It looks like a red pullover got picked up by somebody. He's not
oh, well, that's
anymore.
Good. I'm glad that yeah. I'm glad that somebody finally...
I hope nobody gets killed.
Yes, I hope not, too.
On that note, we should probably wrap it up.
Yes, I do need to go and buy hosiery and shoes.
Hosiery and shoes.
Yes.
Hosiery.
Yes.
Remember that we got to close the gate, you know. Yeah. Remember the dog has got the measles. And when the fox has got the chicken pox. So we got to lock him away in the box, you know. And you can tell him Mr. Fox and come.